The following is a paid-for episode of Ray County Voices. Welcome back to Ray County Voices. If you are a regular listener, welcome to Ray County Voices. If you are a first-time listener, I am one of your co-hosts, Sean Roney.
I'm your other co-host, Miranda Jameson.
If you're new to Ray County Voices, we have a segment called Your Money, Your Mic, which is where a business, nonprofit organization, politician, what have you, pays money. They come in. A lot of times they'll give us questions to ask, and essentially it's a paid for episode, and they get to talk about their business. So for this Your Money, Your Mic episode, we have Zach Gregory of Total Plumbing, based in Excelsior Springs, or I guess Excelsior Springs / Kearney, depending on
what driveway you use.
And then we have Dale Exmit from Big Country Plumbing, which is based in
Richmond.
In Richmond.
If one of you wants to start to just talk about your business, how long you've been local, what you do, and everything about you.
I've started Total Plumbing in 2020. It was June 2020, right as COVID was hitting. And I, for whatever reason, I thought that was the best time to start a business. And ended up working for us pretty well. There's a lot of people at home remodeling their house, using their plumbing's, you know, fixtures and drainage and everything like that more than normal. So it kind of benefited us in a way. And then a few months later that, I hired one of my good friends, Shiloh, and he was on board and probably been the best investment I've ever had. And we've been side by side. We've had upwards to 8-9 employees, and we're down to 4 now, but 5 actually. But we do anything and everything plumbing. We've done large buildings, small, simple repairs, excavation work, septic work. We do residential, like commercial, grease interceptors, literally everything plumbing. We're family, local owned. We enjoy the towns that we get to visit and the people we get to visit. That's probably why we do our job more than anything else. We really enjoy meeting the community, you know, on a personal basis, because plumbing is never really on a scheduled time, so we like to try to be there when somebody's going through a crisis. You know, plumbing can be difficult and it can ruin a lot of things real quick, so we try to ease that as much as possible.
And Dale, a few words about Big Country Plumbing, based here in Richmond.
Yeah, my wife talked me into starting it in 2024. We just moved up here. I'm from an hour and a half south of here. And couldn't find anything to work up here. I didn't like driving to Kansas City, so she decided to talk me into starting it up here. And we've been chugging along. I'm a one-man band and getting going. Haven't really kicked off yet to be hiring employees or nothing. I ain't that busy.
But working like, your way there.
Yeah, and we like living here. I mean, that's kind of the reason we set up here, is because my in-laws live close. But then we started to get some of the people who live here, and they seem all right.
And what prompted you to pursue a career in plumbing, Dale?
My dad was a plumber, so I started helping him whenever I was a kid so I could get gas money to go to school.
Zach, your story's a bit different. We talked a little bit before we started recording.
Originally, I went to school to be a diesel mechanic, spent thousands of dollars to do it. My uncles were into it. My family was into it. Kind of just thought that was kind of like you know, your dad was into it, so it's kind of natural to you. But I had a buddy of mine that his grandfather owned a plumbing company and offered me some work. And eventually I liked it more than I actually liked doing what I was thought I was supposed to do. So I took over some crews. I was in the union for almost 5 years and did anything and everything I do to learn plumbing. And it was coming easier to me than it was mechanicking. Mechanicking was kind of just, I was doing it because I thought I was supposed to do it, but plumbing's by far I'd wake up and plumb versus mechanic any day. Matter of fact, I even take my vehicles to get worked on now. I don't even work on my own.
Well, because you touched on it, last this a Dale and then asked this to you, Zach. What would you say is the most rewarding part of your job?
Making people's dreams come true. You know, you get people that retire and they're building their forever house and you get to be a part of it.
Zach?
I agree. He's spot on. The people you meet is more probably the better thing than the plumbing. The plumbing's, it can be dirty, nasty. It is fun, but plumbing is the rewarding part is actually doing something that, you know, the motto of plumbing is keeping the health and welfare safe in, you know, America. You know, without running water inside of the house, you could have a lot of diseases and bacteria, and it's just not fun. And it's rewarding knowing, especially with kids, you know, walking or driving by a house and you tell your kids, you know, I've worked on all these houses. And, you know, my kids are homeschooled, so they get to go to work with me quite a bit. So they actually work on the houses. So now they're seeing the same thing. They're saying, hey, I worked on that with Dad. I worked on that with Dad. We get a lot of little adventures together. So that's probably the most rewarding.
And is primarily what you do residential plumbing or?
Yeah, I do everything. So I do excavation work. I do new construction. I do septic systems. I do service work. I clean drains. I camber drains. Anything and everything plumbing.
For both of you, do you have a favorite service you like to do? Like if you get a call, what's your favorite one or what are you hoping that it is?
Water heater.
Yeah.
Water heater?
That's water heaters.
Is there a reason? Is it easy or?
Most of the time. Mm. I mean, with everything, you get in some houses that have been cobbled together, makes it a little tough, but for the most part, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, I agree. Water heaters, especially like tankless systems. That's my go-to. I love tankless systems.
I'm trying to. I just got dumped a clash yesterday.
Yeah.
For Navians.
I do a lot of gas work too. So I do some big gas works, not some scary, dangerous type stuff. That's probably my favorite thing to do though.
What goes into that?
Just safety. I mean, really, there's a lot of people that are scared of it. By all means, be scared of it because it's dangerous. But once you get to understand it and know it, it's pretty easy. Especially when you're finished and put a pressure check on something, you know, and that pressure check tells you that these people aren't going to blow up. That's always fun.
Feels good.
Yeah, it always feels good.
Dale, I'll start with Dale and then go to Zach because you all discuss tankless systems. For those of us who are not in the plumbing business, discuss the tankless system. What exactly is it and how does it differ from, I guess, a tanked system?
So tankless water heaters are on demand. It's not like instant because it's still got to heat up water, but if you turn your kitchen faucet on, then it starts sending hot water. So there's like a 30-second delay. And then tanked water heaters, it's storage. So your tank is going to constantly run to keep your water heater at whatever temperature that it's supposed to. And then you draw it. It's still a 30-second delay. I mean, tankless is really, they're running away because they're supposedly way more efficient. They save you money over time because it's not constantly running to maintain a heat level. It's just whenever you need it, it gives it to you.
I agree. And the warranties are better. The warranties are much better, especially with a good tankless. Now, there is two type of tankless systems. We have a gas system and we have an electric system. The electric tankless, I do not agree with. He's sick, shaking his head. Yeah, he's in agreement. But electric tankless systems, they take an insane amount of power to heat it. Your electrical bills are going to go skyrocket. Mm. Or a gas system. The gas system, like you said, it's usually around 90% efficient. So it's going to have PVC piping coming out of it and it's going to be cost effective. It's going to be way better on your pocketbook. Now, they are more expensive to install and they do require maintenance because if you don't maintain them or a good filter system will help out with the longevity of a tankless. But if you don't maintain it, they won't last as long and they'll void a warranty. But as long as you maintain it, but they will provide way better hot water longer. You'll never run out of hot water if it's done right.
Dale, because you were agreeing with Zach, anything you want to add related to electric versus gas tankless systems?
No, I mean, he went over it. The the bills just go up through the roof, and you're supposed to save money. It's mm-hmm. the whole point of the efficiency, and they're just not dialed in yet. They're trying, but we'll see. That, and if your power goes out, you don't have hot water.
Right.
Yeah. To run off what you said about maintenance, are there any things at home homeowners can be doing maintenance-wise to maybe not have to call you all in the first place or to prevent issues from happening?
Yeah, there's several things. Good filtration system is probably going to be the key to anything. The PRV, which is a pressure-reducing valve, which keeps the pressure off of your fixtures from the seals and stuff like that, wearing and tearing out. But maintenance-wise, really, on a tank system, shut the water off, drain it, you know, once a year, clean it out really good. Tankless, like I said, you have to hook a pump up to the tankless system. You have to put a solution in there, whether it be vinegar or tankless cleaner. That's really the maintenance on it. But I tell people bathroom sinks are probably one of the most common things that back up bathroom and kitchen sinks. Bathroom sinks, I tell them, you know, let that water rise, get it real high, let it flush down there, let it clean out the drains. Same thing with the bathtub. It's really easy stuff, but once it is clogged, I mean, for a normal person to unclog it, sometimes you can get lucky and it's in the trap. Most of the time it's down the line and you have to actually clean it with a cable.
Mm-hmm.
But maintenance, there's not a whole lot to maintenance unless you have root intrusion in your sewer system, then that's all another ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Dale, your thoughts about preventive steps?
There's only so much you can do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Aside from a descaler, but like you said, you have to have a special tool for it, so it's not a homeowner thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not like a membership for plumbing that you can sign up for and just get maintenance.
Right.
It's just kind of, a lot of it's tedious, but it's, and most people don't do any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Most people don't.
But if they didn't, I guess we wouldn't be in business.
And with that, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Ray County Voices. I'm your co-host, Miranda Jameson.
And I'm your other co-host, Sean Roney. As a reminder, Ray County Voices is a podcast provided by the Richmond News and its sister newspaper, the Excel Springs Standard. And today, our guests are Zach Gregory with Total Plumbing and Dale Axmit with Big Country Plumbing. And where we left off with our first segment, we had discussed any preventive measures that folks can take related to plumbing issues.
To feed off of preventative, is there any no-goes on putting things down the drain? I think grease is probably the most known thing to not put down. Is there anything else?
Feminine products, wipes. Mm-hmm. I tell a lot of people, if it doesn't come out of your body, and if it's not toilet paper, don't put it down your drains.
Mm.
Garbage disposals aren't for trash cans. Therefore, what's left stuck to the plate. Those are if you can stick to those rules, the plumbing is probably going to last you quite a long time.
I can't think of anything else.
I'll start with Dale and then go to Zach. What is the most unusual, or what's the most unusual thing you've had to pull out of a drain that's been clogged?
Kids' toys, I guess. Yeah, those little styrofoam bath toy deals. I've had to pull those out of toilets. Dog toy.
Dog toys.
Yeah. It was like a bone type thingy. But it wasn't like a hard bone. It was I don't know. I'm assuming kids probably flushed it down too, and your toilets are trapped and it gets caught in there. But out of like your main drain or whatnot, it's just like roots, I guess. But that's not really unusual. That's pretty common.
I had never heard of that before, which I know is probably crazy. But so do roots just infiltrate into pipes, or how does that work?
Not supposed to.
Okay.
No. We live in a county that's aged, so it's not a lot of new plumbing around. So you have clay tile doesn't have a seal around the joints, and a lot of roots will find. It's amazing. You'll have a real thick root, and it'll get real skinny and go through that little crack in the pipe, and then it'll grow real large back into the pipe. So a root's fine in water. They're pretty intrusive. But yeah, roots are the death of pipes. If you have PVC, means you got a broken pipe. That means you got a big issue. But typical roots in a clay system, that's normal-ish. It's not supposed to be there, but we have a lot of clients that have clay pipes that we clean on a regular basis.
So, Dale, in cases where you get roots in sewer lines, is there anything a homeowner can do to help relieve them? Or?
They have like root killer, but really you just take a cutter on the end of your cable and run it down there. I mean, I try not to recommend a whole bunch of stuff that cuts my job out, but
right.
Depending on how big of an issue it is, I will say they make like root killers and stuff, but I don't know how good that is. I've never done it myself.
I've never seen it work.
But that's something people can call you for. And a service you all help with.
Yeah. I'm sure he's got drain cleaning machines just like I do and different heads and different ways to go about it too. Because you can rent sewer machines. Sewer machines can be dangerous. They'll break your hand. They'll break your arm. They can get wrapped around your head.
They'll rip out your beard.
They'll rip out your beard. I've had that happen more than I can, I want to say. But sewer machines can be dangerous. That's the biggest thing that homeowners really need to know. The proper gloves, if you don't have proper gloves when you're cleaning the drains, that cable, because it's meant to grab stuff and, you know, cling to it, it'll grab that glove and it'll wrap your hand up in that glove and it could break your arm, it could break your wrist, it could break your hand, fingers. I've had, you know, stories where guys are, you know, trying to cable it and it gets out of control and it's even wrapped up in their, around their neck. It can be a scary situation, but to, you know, a trained professional like MRI, you know, it's typical. We know what to feel, you know, and he could probably say this too, but when we're into a clog, we can feel it. We know like how it's, you know, binding up or if it's a break, you know, you can feel it's a break. You can feel if it's roots. You can feel if it's like a belly in the pipe or there's a lot of things that over experienced time, you know, that you get a feel through drain cleaning. A lot of drain cleaners too, if you rent something, they have a little bitty head on them. Where all they're doing is poking a hole. You might get the water to drain temporarily, but I'm sure he's got the tools too with a camera where we can go in and spot clean stuff and make sure we get all those roots out 100%. It lasts longer and it is more efficient.
So, Dale, related to what Zach was saying about feel, how would you describe when you're rooting through a plumbing system, how would you describe the feeling of a root versus a clog versus a break?
I don't know how you put it in words.
It's just the experience.
Once you do something over and over again, you start to kind of pick up on like, does it catch? Are you making any progress? If like your pipe's collapsed, you're not gonna go. If you do, you're gonna like, you can feel like the angle switch. It's all in the feel.
It's just something difficult to articulate.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really.
It's kind of an instinct thing.
It's kind of like driving a car.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, if you feel the road, you know, you can feel the road. It's the same thing about driving a sewer machine, except for you're doing it blindly. You're doing it just off of feel.
I feel like that's a good point to make, too, because there are remedies and things homeowners can do, but there's a difference from remedies to trained professionals doing the job.
Yeah, there definitely is. I mean, there's a reason why our trade is specific to plumbers and why we stay in our lane, because there's a lot to it. It's not just gluing pipes together. So there's a reason behind the madness.
Because we've mentioned being trained professionals, to start with Dale and then go to Zach, just talk about the training that you've had to undergo or that you undergo in order to do what you do.
Well, I started at 14, helped my dad, and it was do this. And because I wasn't like a sit down learner, I was more of a hands on. He just threw me to the wolves and told me to figure it out. And so you got to learn the measurements for pipes. Like you have the ID, which is the inside diameter. You have the OD of pipes. You have fittings. You got to measure this. Like you got to know the sweep measurements for each fitting, 3-inch, 2-inch, inch and a half. Like everything is very specific to it. There's not like a lot of interchangeable. 4 inch is different than 3 inch, 2 inch, an inch and a half. Most of that stuff's the same. But yeah, I didn't really have like a go to class, get training on it. I just got thrown into new construction and this pipe needs to go out the roof. So it vents, figure out how. And then the drain cleaning, you just pick it up one day. I got enough calls that I was like, well, you know, I'm leaving money on the table. I better start helping. And like he said, you just develop instincts into it. You don't really at some point it switches from training to just instincts kicking in. And
well, because you mentioned inches, I guess most of the equipment that or the pipes that you work with in the plumbing business, they're done in the English system rather than the metric system, or
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we work off a pipe diameter. A lot of plumbers, you know, like he was saying, there's even with water lines, drain lines, there's so many different thicknesses of the pipe tube. So when you're working with PEX, it's actually measured off a copper tube size. When you're working with galvanized, it's going to be an iron pipe size. And then the gas is, you know, there's back and forth of different things. So you got to know, you got to be pretty good about like visualizing what you're working with, because it can rob you of time. Because if you're thinking that you're working on a half inch pipe, but it's half inch copper, and you go grab half inch steel, they're not going to line up. Just because they're half inch doesn't mean that they're half inch.
And because we started with discussing training, what kind of training, Zach, did you do to transition from being a vehicle mechanic to going into plumbing?
Yeah, so I was in the union, so they require it. So they actually make you go to class. They make you, it's kind of going to class that you've already been to, that you worked all day on, and then you still got to go to class at the end of the day to learn what you just did for the whole day. So like I said, some people need it because they would rather learn in a class than out in the field. I'm just like him. I'm hands on. Like if I can't put my hands on, I'm probably not going to learn it. but I went through a bunch of different things. I've got a license list of things that I'm licensed in, a lot of things. I've got a lot of different variables that I can fall back on different licenses through plumbing. Plumbing's just not one different license. I've got backflow license. I've got septic license, basic and advanced. I've got a master's license in Kansas and Missouri. I've got my medical license, so I can do med gas and stuff like that. I've got a welding license, but I took advantage of it. It was free classes. So I got as many certifications as I could just because I was in the union. I was paying my dues, and they were giving them for free. So I was getting as many certifications as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And Dale, what are your licenses and certifications that you have?
I don't have hardly any of those because I just got my master's plumbing's license, and I'm actually working on getting my backflow, because that's all the commercial buildings, apartments and stuff, they all have, each building's got one.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is that?
A backflow license.
Yeah.
It's to keep from, if there's a water main break on the outside of the building, it keeps all the water from the building rushing backwards, so they can actually shut the water off, for one, and it keeps it, it protects the system.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he's got his master's license, which is the one key that if you hire any plumber, make sure that they're licensed.
That is.
It doesn't have to be us. It has to be, it should be a licensed and insured plumber.
That was going to be one of, I think, the important questions. What is something people should look for in trusted plumbers?
Local. Mm-hmm. Local and licensed. That's, I mean, the biggest two. You can look it up if your local city hall, they have a list of licensed plumbers. You can get on there and make sure. But, I mean, license and local is the two biggest things that I tell people.
I'm guessing you would agree with that, Dale?
Yeah, and then obviously insurance is a big one, too. Because if they mess something up, then they're liable for it.
Can people just ask if they have insurance, or is there a way to look that up?
You can write it. Yeah, I've had several customers. Quick email over. Matter of fact, I don't even do that. I just tag my insurance lady. I'm like, hey, what's your email? And then I tag her. I'm like, hey, send it over to these people. And then it's easy.
Okay.
Super easy.
And with that, we'll take another break. And when we come back, we will discuss some other plumbing-related topics on this paid-for episode of Ray County Voices, a podcast series of the Richmond News and its sister newspaper, the Excelsior Springs Standard.
Welcome back to Ray County Voices. I'm your co-host, Miranda Jameson.
And I'm your other co-host, Sean Roney. One of the things that we were wanting to discuss is Well, for our listeners who are outside of the Ray County area, outside of Missouri, and there are many. We have some who listen from the UK and Germany and other places like that. One joke that is made about weather in Missouri is, if you don't like it, wait 5 minutes and it'll change. And as we record this, we've gone through hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. And as we record this on March 20th, 2026, it's almost 80 degrees outside. And we'll use that as a seg into a question, starting with Dale and then going to Zach. Are there any seasonal plumbing issues people should be thinking about?
Right now?
Yeah.
Like with the warm weather coming, is there anything that people
warm weather is good for plumbing. It's awesome. It's cold weather that gets you.
Yeah.
But warm weather, there's nothing that comes to mind for me.
I agree. The only other time that warm weather would be a negative thing would be when the ground gets dry and it starts to shift. That's when you get a lot of broken water lines that are underground. But other than that, I mean, rainy season, we are in the rainy season. So sump pumps and stuff like that are a big thing. Wet basements is what usually you see about this time of year. But he's right. Cold weather is brutal on plumbing.
Is that usually a busier time for you in the winter?
Yeah, for us, for sure.
From the service aspect, yeah.
Yeah. Outside of the service aspect, I know, do you do anything like inspection-wise or anything with the building houses going up, or is it just service calls? I'm sorry if that didn't make sense.
No, it did. Okay. I do everything. So I do new construction. I do service. I do excavation. I do, like I said, I like plumbing, and I keep myself pretty busy doing it, but service is probably the main thing. I started as a service plumber, ended up in new construction, and new construction is depending on weather and also the next trade. So if your next trade's not quick, you can be sitting at home for a few days, but service is where I enjoy the most.
What would you say your most common service call is?
Drain cleaning.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned inspections too. So inspections are typically on whoever has the jurisdiction over that area. So if you in town here, your inspection would be the city. If you're talking about a third party inspection, we do sewer inspections where we can run a camera down through the line and inspect the sewer system.
Okay.
And send you a report. We can also locate the sewer line too. But I don't inspect unless it's usually a house being sold. And then the future homeowner might call us and we'll do an inspection then. And then they usually have other questions in the meantime. Like, what do you think about this? Whatever. But sewer inspections are very, very inexpensive to replacing sewer lines. So if you're thinking about buying a house, make sure you get that sewer line inspected because it can bite you.
Well, because Zach mentioned sewers and because Ray County, where we're recording this, is more of a rural area. I'm trying to remember, did you all mention also working related to septic tank systems? Or
I do.
All right. So this question will be strictly for Zach. Are there any challenges to working on a septic tank issue that are unique to it, or say more difficult than working on a plumbing system that's connected to a municipal sewer line?
Yeah, there's, yes. You're your own city, or you're your own wastewater. So what you flush is going to be key to what's going into your septic system and how it's treated. If you flush it to the city, that's kind of the city's responsibility. But you got to remember that you're responsible for your own sewer system completely 100% if you're on septic. So that means anything that you flush is going to end up in that tank, and whatever is ending up in that tank is going to cost you a lot more money in the end. And if you don't treat your tank, meaning if you don't pump it, a lot of people want to put chemicals down there to treat it. You don't need chemicals to treat it. You just need to not throw things down there that's not supposed to be down there. But do have your tank pumped. That's a big thing. People don't pump the tanks and it ends up ruining their leach field. And if your leach field's working and if your tank's being pumped right, your septic system's going to last.
Dale, is septic something that you're hoping your business can eventually expand into, or are you...
Nope.
How come?
It's gross. I didn't even plan on getting into drain cleaning. I just kept getting the phone calls.
Dale, you said you opened in 2024. Is that right? What would you say to someone who wants to pursue opening their own business but is scared to in plumbing?
I don't care if it's electrical, HVAC, whatever it is. Just do it. I mean, it's super easy to do, and then you just got to do good work.
Is there anything you would?
I agree. Small business is what drives America. This is what America is for, is for small businesses. So when I started this business, I wasn't looking to hire anybody. I wasn't looking to, you know, be a huge corporation. I just wanted to do good work to the local people that, you know, were surrounding me. So again, get your license and go start a business. I mean, that's, we need more. There's not very many plumbers out there, and there's not a whole lot of good plumbers out there. And the good ones are starting businesses. So that's where it needs to be.
Would you recommend, I mean, say a high school student is listening to this and is maybe thinking about making plumbing his or her trade. Would you recommend that they go to Votech? Because memory serves, you can get trained in plumbing in Votech, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, too. I think they do a general construction.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what the Votech that I went to, that's what they did. It was just kind of a general, it wasn't a, because we're specialty trades. We're not, like, yeah, we're construction, but we are a different breed, I guess, for lack of better terms. Not, you know, like, there's a pretty good chance that you could plug us in and we could probably go be Sparkies, especially nowadays. It's all color-coded.
Yeah.
But there's, we could have the same house built and he plumbs his different, I plumb mine different.
Exactly. There's a lot of ways to plumb. There's the correct way and the wrong way. But as long as you're doing it to code, he can have his idea. And I can, you know, I can walk into a house too, and I can tell you just by a glue joint on how well that plumber cared about this job. If it looks like he wrote all over it with glue and primer and it's all nasty and it's not hung right, you probably need a little bit more, you know, experience with somebody that knows what they're doing. But, you know, I don't want to say taking pride in your work, but plumbers take a lot of pride in their work. We care more about, like, what's good for the customer versus what's good for us. I mean, we want it to be for the customer. And, I mean, our business is usually word of mouth. So if you have a good plumber in your house that's working overtime, you're probably going to refer them to the next person. And it's a relationship. We get to build relationships that are there forever. I get to see, you know, lots of people in the grocery stores, lots of people at the fuel station. There's a lot of, and plumbers are the highest paid trade out there. So if you're a high school student that wants a, that you don't know what trade you want to get into, plumbers are dirty, but you're going to make more money than anybody else. Because you're also going to get that phone call at midnight, and they, people do not care what they pay at midnight. If they want sewage out of their basement, they will pay you whatever you want to come out. And a lot of times, it's, I'll give them a bill, and they're like, well, that's it? You can pay me more.
All right. Let me fix that.
And I mean, and they do. They recognize it. And like I said, we take a lot of pride in what we do. We enjoy what we do. And if you don't enjoy what you do, probably shouldn't be doing it.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dale, related to what Zach said, I'm guessing, was it the same way for you that you're building your business through word of mouth? Or
yeah, I mean, there's not, I mean, like Yelp and Angie's List and all that, but I mean, not to like talk bad on the organizations or anything, but like it's, whenever you're first starting out, you can't spend thousands of dollars on marketing unless you want to use up a bunch of overhead. And I started a business where me and my wife, my family could live comfortably. And then I could take vacation whenever I want to, go do stuff with the kids whenever I want to, and not have to worry about a mountain of debt over top. And that's, word of mouth is the only way that you do that. If you have to spend thousands of dollars on marketing, well, now you have to make thousands of dollars a month or else you're in the hole, and then you don't last very long in the hole. So yeah, word of mouth is hands down the most important thing if you're going to start a company.
Why would you, or what would you say makes your business stand out? Why should people use you for their plumbing issues?
Well, like Zach said, the most important thing is I take very I'm very prideful in my work. I don't like to deliver bad products because then it makes me look, for lack of better words, dumb. And I don't like that thought of like the homeowner thinking that I was dumb or I didn't do a good job because I didn't care. I was thinking about something else, whatever. And I mean, I'm not afraid to turn down work if I don't think I can do it to a level of what I think that it should be done. And I'm not quite set up for that yet. Call somebody, you know, again, if I know somebody, I'll recommend, hey, call this guy. He's more set up for septic tanks than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather steer somebody to somebody else who can take better care of them than me than to try to do a halfway good job.
I agree. He's not wrong. He's preaching it over there. What sets the difference between me and not him, but other plumbing companies is mostly, you know, your larger plumbing companies that you see sponsored underneath Google ads or whatever like that. Those are more than likely not a family owned business. Well, family owned. So if you see us at the park, I'm going to probably come up to you and ask you how everything is going. I'm going to see, you know, if you need anything. And also, we care. I mean, we actually care because his name's on the line just as much as my name's on the line. And we also have I've never really met you before, but with other plumbers, we have a lot of respect for each other too. So if I know a guy that owns a plumbing company and I see something going on, I'm going to say, hey, you know, I'm out here at this job. You want to come out here and walk through with me? Customers are really quick to call other companies, especially when there's catastrophic failures. And sometimes it's not us, it's something, you know, down the line that they need a second opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
And I fail, but I'm okay with that. I've got a lot of ways to make it, you know, I've flooded buildings, I've flooded houses, I've done terrible. I've had a little bitty, you know, $5 fitting blow off one time and it flooded an entire house, but I'm there vacuuming up. I'm like, you know, that's what makes a difference between him and I. If somebody calls him and says he's got an issue, he's probably going to turn right around and go right back and go try to fix that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Call a big company, they're probably going to send another guy and then another guy, mm-hmm. and then another guy. And then nobody knows what's going on. And you have a whole giant mess where you're going to call us, you're going to get the same person back. You're going to get to be familiar with us. You're going to be, you know, and I don't want to see somebody in the grocery store that I've, you know, done wrong either.
Right.
So
yeah.
I want to make sure that we're good on everywhere we go.
We'll take one more break and wrap this up.
Welcome back to Ray County Voices. I'm your co-host, Miranda Jameson.
And I'm your other co-host, Sean Roney. We're wrapping up this episode, this Your Money, Your Mic themed episode, where we're discussing issues related to plumbing with Dale Axmit with Big Country Plumbing and Zach Gregory with Total Plumbing. I have to ask, Dale, where did you come up with the idea for the name Big Country Plumbing?
It was my nickname in high school.
Oh.
And then I just added plumbing to it.
And how did you come up with the name of Total Plumbing, Zach?
Oh, I got a lot of fame. My uncle had a concrete company that was Total Concrete. When I was young, I worked for him, and I could not think of a name. And then I was just going through names and names and names. And like I said, just a little bit ago, my initials are TP, and then it came up with Total Plumbing. So that's how it kind of ended up. So my uncle's original concrete company, Total Concrete, I just robbed it and used it for me.
Now, during a break in recording segments, Dale complimented you on the logo for Total Plumbing.
Yeah.
Talk about how you came up with it.
Oh, that was my neighbor. I'm terrible at like art. Plumbing is my art. So he made a hat and a shirt for me and made the logo, and he gave it to me, and I was like, that's probably the best thing I've ever seen. And I ran with it. He offered to pay him a bunch of money. I was like, you did a great job. And he was like, I just did it on the computer. And I have no idea how he did it, but it's a little toilet paper man carrying a little work box is all it is.
And if folks are listening in or near Ray County. Dale, what's kind of your service area? How far east, north, south, west will you go?
Where the call is, I don't really have a end. I've gone as far as DeSoto, Kansas, and I'll go as far south as need be. I mean, Lexington so far is my furthest service call, but if it makes money, I'll drive.
And if someone needs your services, discuss how folks should get a hold of you.
They can give me a call. My company phone is my personal phone. So if you call 816-738-5779, it'll come to me. I might not answer it. I might be busy, but I'll leave a voicemail or call back or shoot me a text.
And Zach, what's your service area?
I'm same with him. You call me for a plumbing issue, you want to pay me, I'm on my way. I've been all over. I've serviced almost to St. Louis, all the way down to Joplin, all the way out the middle of Kansas, all in north on the Ohio border. I mean, it just depends. I answer my phone. If you want to pay me, we agree on a price, I'll head that way.
And what number should they call? Or
mine's the same way with him. My cell phone, it rings to me, or I got a lady in the office that she's answers the phone and schedules for me, because I do get scatterbrained sometimes, and she's good about systems and she's good about scheduling, and I'm terrible about it. So I stick to plumbing. But 816-267-0426 is my number. You can call it and text it.
Well, thank you, Dale. And thank you, Zach, and all of you out there. Thank you for listening, and check back soon for, if all goes well, a few sports themed episodes of Ray County Voices. One will be an episode where MJ and I discuss a recent road trip that we took, where that we covered Kansas City Mavericks and ice hockey and discuss some other sports related topics. And then if the scheduling gods work with us, MJ's mom, Sharon Donnett, who is a producer on this show, and I are planning to take a trip when the U.S. women's rugby team is going to play an international friendly match in Kansas City, and we'll get to discuss that. So take care and stay safe, and hope that all is well with your plumbing.
This is Ray County Voices.